just like you promised, you come. Just like you told us, you're here. And my desire is that you know I love you. I worship you. I welcome you here. Would you like to say that after me? Just like you promised, you've come. Just like you told us, you're here. And my desire is that you know I love you. I worship you. I welcome you here. Those are great words, aren't they? Very, very simple. They were one of the very first choruses that was written by the Vineyard, back way back in the early 80s. Do you know, or some of you may not know, the Bible contains many, many prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus coming and about what would happen in his life, about his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection. And some of those prophecies about him coming and his birth, we're just going to quickly remind ourselves of now. So let's just look at the first one from Isaiah in chapter 7. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. This was a sign from God that God was going to put into the world as a sign for all to see. And we learned that the sign was going to be a boy. And that the boy would be born to a virgin girl. And that the name of the boy, the son, would be Emmanuel. Four things we learned from just that one verse. Well, I think it's two verses. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 9. The first two verses are: Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And then verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, the God who fights, will accomplish this. What do we learn from just those verses? Well, we learn that it was going to be in Galilee. He was going to come from Galilee. We learn that he was going to bring light into darkness. We learn that he was going to be a ruler. That he would be known by various names. His kingdom would last forever. Amen. His kingdom would be a kingdom of righteousness and justice. And God was going to make sure that it happened. It's true. It's true. It's happened. Isaiah prophesied these words. Do you know how long before Jesus came he prophesied these words? 750 years or thereabouts. Maybe some of them 715. Okay, we'll give a little bit of leeway, shall we? 700 plus years before it happened, he said it was going to happen. And it did happen. You know, the Bible says that not one solitary word of God's will pass away until it happens. Not one word. So just like he promised, he's come. And yesterday, we celebrated the fact that he came. And today we're going to do the same. And next year we'll do the same. And we'll carry on doing it as long as we can. Even after such a long time, 700 years plus, there were still people in Jerusalem who were looking and waiting and watching. And Luke tells us particularly of two people. The first was Simeon, an older man, a bit like Pastor Robin. I have to get that in because he says so much about me. Last time he introduced me as his granddad. I mean, that's a bit much, isn't it? Simeon was a man, it says, he was full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit. And he'd already had a prophecy of his own. Amazing when we get prophecies for ourselves, a word, a rhema word from God. And the prophecy was, Simeon, you'll not die until what I promise happens. Wow, what a promise. What a promise. And one day he's there at home. He's going about his daily life, whatever that happened to be. And the Spirit came upon him, and the Spirit said to him, Simeon, you better get down to the temple this morning. And so, in obedience, he trots down to the temple. And there, when he gets there, a couple are walking into the temple at the same time with a baby 8 days old. And they're coming, following the circumcision to make a sacrifice, because some of you will remember that the firstborn would belong to God, and you had to go and redeem your firstborn. So what you did was you took the baby, presented the baby before God, and offered a sacrifice in exchange for your baby. And at that moment, Simeon comes in and he walks and he sees this child, and it says that he took the child in his arms and immediately he knew that the promise had been fulfilled. So much so that he said, Lord, let me now die in peace, for I have seen your salvation. Hold on a minute. It's just an 8-day-old baby. I held a baby in my arms this week. Born to one of the girls in the office who was born 2 months. 2 months, yeah, prematurely. And this little mite is now, I don't know, several weeks old, and we're still only this big. A bit poorly to start with, but doing really well. Beautiful, beautiful little girl. Held her in my arms and he thought, Lord, thank you for this gift. Thank you for this gift. Thank you for preserving this little one. And Simeon does the same, but this baby is different. This baby, he knows, fulfills the promise. Just as you promised, Lord, you've come. My eyes have seen your salvation. And then there was another one there. There was a lady called Anna. Now, if you work out, it says, gives some details about her, but it looks as if she was well over 100 years old. And it says, I don't know quite how this worked, but it says she lived in the temple. She never left. So day by day by day, she was seeing 8-year-old children, boys, come to the temple. And it was like it was just as if she was just standing there and they were parading past her, one by one by one, day after day, year after year. And this one day, another one comes past her. And suddenly, that's the one. How did she do that? The Bible said she was a prophetess. She knew the word of the Lord. And she was looking day after day after day after day for the one that would come who was promised. And there she was on that day, and here he is. Here he is. She said, wow, that's the one, that's the one. The promised baby is here. And it says that she went and she told people who were of like mind, who were looking and waiting for the one who would come, the promised one. Just like you promised, you've come. You know, God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. He kept the promise then, and he'll keep the promise now. But in what we've been reading, there was one specific promise that I want to just zone in on for a few minutes. And that promise was that the people walking in darkness would see a great light. Isaiah refers to the land of, or the tribes of Naphtali and Zebulun. And those were the two tribes which were at the very, very northern part of Israel. And when the Assyrians invaded in 722 BC, they were the first two tribes that got it. They were basically wiped out. And for years, because there had been other raids by the Assyrians before that, for years they lived in fear. In fear, the darkness of fear. What will happen? When will it happen? Is it going to happen? Will we be here when it happens? And they lived in dreadful, dreadful fear. And their fear was well founded. But Isaiah says that when this new light comes, it won't be quite as bad as that. But there was darkness. Because for 400 years, God had said nothing. For the 400 years between Malachi and Matthew, nothing had happened. And you've just got a handful of people like the two we've mentioned, are still looking and still waiting. But most of them had given up and gone home. And it says, I'll do this. I've got 2 minutes, or shall I? Okay, I'm just going to read the first few verses of John's Gospel. You all know it quite well, I think, most of you anyway. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. John is repeating Isaiah's prophecy, except he's saying it now that this has happened. But the darkness has not understood it. Wow. So when the light came, not everyone was like Simeon and Anna, who immediately recognized it, even in an 8-year-old baby. Let us say. Sorry, I was just finding the translation. It says that he came to his own people, but they didn't recognize the light. They rejected the light. Do you know what happens if you reject the light? You stay in the dark. I just want to say to you this morning, I think what the Lord wants to say to you is this. We've talked about a lot of darkness in our world. We've talked about the difficult times from last year. We've talked about, this morning, the difficult times that some people are having right now. You know, there's still a lot of darkness about. And dare I say it, it's one of the strange things I can't explain, but it's the same for me as everybody else. You know, in each of our lives, we're a mixture of light and darkness. You know, Jesus didn't come the first time and it all became light and there was no dark anymore. No. Do you know, in me, there are patches of the dark. Patches of things that the light somehow still hasn't quite reached, or I haven't let the light reach. And the question this morning for us is, will we recognize the light this Christmas? Will we recognize that the light that was promised has come? And that light is for you and for me. So, what is your darkness this morning? Maybe your darkness is COVID-19. Maybe your darkness is some other sort of illness or sickness. Maybe your darkness is a troubled relationship or relationships. Maybe your darkness is threatened jobs. Maybe your darkness is an addiction of some sort. Maybe your darkness is all of those, or just the plain fear. Fear, fear, fear. We can trust the Lord for eternal life, but we somehow are struggling to trust him for what's happening right now. Will you recognize the light? Will you say, Lord of light, the light of the life of the Lord Jesus, this Christmas, come and shine in my darkness. Come and make a difference where I am right now. Come and begin to shine that light into my fear, whatever it might be. It says that the people lived in the shadow of death. You remember David in Psalm 23, even though I live through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That was his testimony, because he let the light of the Lord dispel that darkness. So, what is the fear this morning? What is the shadow of death over you? Let the light shine. Release the light. Say, yes, Jesus, just like you promised. Just like you keep your promises. Just like your life is light to us all, to the whole world. Come and shine your light in my darkness. Come and dispel the darkness in my life. Come and take away that fear, whatever it might be. You know, we celebrate Jesus coming. We celebrate the fact that the promise was fulfilled. But do you know, that promise isn't just for us to put up tinsel on a tree. That promise is for you. You, personally. The promise is not just for, ooh, isn't it great, all of us have a great Christmas. No, do you know Christmas can happen inside your own life? That's the real Christmas. That's the real Christmas. I just took communion with you all. I don't know why these things, you know, these things just appear in our heads, don't they? But I took the bread this morning and I said, Lord, that's better than everything I had yesterday. That's more precious than everything I ate yesterday, and I cooked it. It does me more good than anything I ate yesterday. The promise is for you. The promise is for you. May the light of the Lord shine in our darkness today and tomorrow and throughout this coming year. Amen.